Attorney General is actually the plaintiff rather than the defendant. The case is United States against Hussein. Mr. Stanton.
May it please the Court, Mr. Bindi. Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Bill Stanton. I represent Mr. Hussein. Mr. Hussein pled guilty to essentially a link card fraud case that spanned from June 2004 to June of 2008. Earlier this year, he was sentenced to 60 months in the Bureau of Prisons, and we bring up three issues to this Court. We believe the loss amount in this case should have resulted in a 14-level increase to the base offense level rather than a 16-level increase.
Can we talk about that?
Absolutely.
Because Judge Pallmeyer didn't account for gross profit on legitimate sales in the loss calculation. But in what sense did that prejudice Mr. Hussein?
Well,
because her loss calculation didn't include the frauds that were committed at either Spot Chicken or Route 69. And those omissions alone would more than compensate for the failure to account for gross profit at the other stores. I mean, what doubt could there possibly be that the loss exceeded $1 million?
Admittedly, to get from $1.7 million to the next level, the 14-level increase, which would be under $1 million, would be a significant decrease. The assumption that the district court operated under was that grocery stores operate at a very small margin of profit, which the defense took issue with. She said, even if I were to conclude that there was profit here, it would be no more than 10%. And it was the defense's contention that grocery stores sell items at 50% or 100% profit margin. So based on...
Unless the profit margin were 400%, however, you couldn't get down under $1 million.
And in some cases, especially with the limited items that Mr. Hussein was selling, that being pops and chips,
candy. Did you put in evidence about the purchase and the selling price of those items?
Not for lack of effort, Your Honor, but based on Mr. Hussein's record keeping going back to 2004 and 2005.
What do you mean not for lack of effort? Your client could have taken the stand and said, we bought item X for X amount of money, and we sold it for Y.
Well, what Mr. Hussein did was he addressed the district court and said, I believe what I made off of this fraud was about $700,000
or $800,000. Yes. Did he testify to his purchase price and his selling price?
He did not.
Did he testify?
He just addressed the court in allocution.
Yeah. Allocution is not evidence.
Okay, Judge, it was just bringing up something that's part of the record.
There were many vendors, maybe most of them, paid in cash.
I think a lot of vendors were paid in cash.
What?
And I don't think that's very unusual in the convenience store genre. Why is that not unusual?
Do you run convenience stores yourself, so you're testifying here, too?
Sir, I'm not here to testify. I don't run any convenience stores.
No,
it's a little late, too.
The point, obviously, is that when you're talking about a lot of cash paying the vendors, when they deliver and stock the store and do all that stuff, he claims, at least there's some place in there, it says that he had normal stocking of the store, and what you just alluded to, or selling this junk stuff, was not stocking the store. And normally, if you're having a lot of normal deliveries to a store where they put some volume in and often stock the shelves themselves and that sort of thing, to say you pay cash for that seems just to be unusual. And most biggest problem is there's no tracing of it to show that there really was a lot of volume that came in that was eventually sold.
And the no tracing aspect proved to be a problem. Mr. Hussein had a very limited educational background, special education student. I think
he
ranked.
Only took cash.
Excuse me?
Only took cash.
was that...
Paid in cash?
I didn't say he only paid in cash. In some circumstances, he did. And as far as his store being fully stocked, it was fully stocked as in terms of the store had all the shelves filled. Now, the items that were for sale, I wouldn't disagree with the government's contention, were not the most nutritious items around. But they were items that were in high demand in that neighborhood as far as snack food and convenience store food.
I can't picture the store. Maybe we've all been to the, we'll call it the gas station, that has stuff. You know, they sell stuff that's maybe more like what you're describing and think certain things that are miscellaneous items. Is that the kind of store this was?
Essentially. A corner convenience store located at the bottom of an apartment building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of us have never been in one of those places. You know.
Fortunately.
I know.
That's where I buy my groceries all the time.
You, yes.
Well,
but most of us.
Well, as it relates to that point, the restitution in this case was...
Is there a health food?
That's his favorite vegetable.
As it relates to the restitution in this case, it was determined to be the same as the loss amount, I believe it was $1.695 million. And as this court knows, restitution must be determined with a degree of certitude, which in this case, we don't believe it was. It seemed that Judge Hallmeyer did give credence to the fact that there was a profit margin in this case that was not accounted for. Her thoughts were 10%. But in any event, she did address that and say, even if I were to give you credit for that, it wouldn't affect your offense level. That may be true, but it would definitely affect the restitution judgment that she ordered. As it relates to the role enhancement in this case, he was given a four-level increase for being a leader or organizer of an offense that involved five or more people or was otherwise extensive. And the district court in this case specifically found that this offense involved Mr. Hussein, his co-defendant, Ms. Bazian, and an employee by the name of Dwight Fleming, a total of three people. The PSR confirmed that this offense involved three people. As far as otherwise extensive, that wasn't really addressed by the district court or the PSR, but it's our position that this was a simple fraud that was engaged in that was not extensive.
Well,
did happen.
But there were multiple stores involved in the fraud, hundreds of customers, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure, Judge. And basically what happened was store A would get closed down, they'd move down the block to store B. Store B would get closed down. That's not extensive. That's not very bright, but it's not extensive in terms of a fraud.
I think it is. The fact that you know, have enough sense. If one is closed down, then you move to the next, and you move to the next. It's getting more extensive as we go along.
It's the same fraud at a different location.
There's only these two plus one employee.
Correct.
At each store?
They were implicated in any sort of fraudulent activity.
I understand that, but I'll let you argue to say the participants, people that were purchasing and, you know, exchanging the cash and going, you know, furthering it. We'll just call them something else since you don't want to call them part of the fraud, but there have to be other employees.
It's my understanding that there were other employees that did not pay out on the link card fraud.
No, I'm just saying enhancing the keeping this thing going, knowing that people are coming in there. I don't know what they have to know. It's just that, but he's managing other people that are furthering the fraud. That's all. That's what I think it's pretty. At least it would seem to me to get. I'll ask the government. Pretty easy to get the five.
Well, I think he's managing other people that aren't
in counting the hundreds of people who are coming in and being.
Sure, I think he's managing other people that weren't encouraging the fraud. Is the point that I was making? The employees that weren't involved in this whatsoever.
They didn't know what was going on.
Exactly.
Just stocking the shelves.
Essentially.
Okay.
I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Mr. Stanton.
Yep.
Mr. Bindi.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Your Honors, the District Court's finding on the loss figure was not clearly erroneous. There was no dispute as to the gross EBT deposits from the Spot and Halstead, and there was no dispute about the dollar value of the purchases to resupply inventory that was subtracted out of there. Profit margin was considered by the court, but the court was given essentially no evidence at all regarding what that number should be. Legitimate profit margin on legitimate link card purchases were likely to have been small, and the figure that was subtracted from gross EBT deposits was in some sense over-inclusive because it included resupply of inventory from transactions that did not involve the link card. regarding the leader-organizer adjustment, again, the district court's finding is not clearly erroneous. These were the defendant's businesses. He was running them. He supervised employees. Admittedly, only two employees were named as being specifically involved in fraudulent activity. But the customers who participated in this as well are criminally liable.
Customers of a criminal enterprise don't count as participants in the crime based solely on their status as customers, do they?
Well, but, Your Honor, I would submit that the customers in this case are not receivers of stolen goods. They are participants in the theft. They supply an essential element of the theft, which is the link card. So they are there at the point of the transaction when the victim is victimized, and so the proceeds are split.
So do they have to have specific intent? Harkening back to the last case or the one before, or the, I don't know.
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think general intent as to what they're doing is sufficient. But in any event, as the district court also found, this was an otherwise extensive crime. There were multiple locations used to facilitate the crime. There were hundreds of customers involved in it. In certain instances, when applications for the link card swipe machine were submitted, the defendant was not named as the owner of the store, so he's hiding that. He's a moving target in terms of both who owns these establishments and where they're committing the fraud. It went on for 4 years and involved a loss of almost $1.7 million. That's a fairly extensive fraud.
It is, and I'd want to interrupt you here because I find this almost appalling. How this link card, supposed to be an efficient way for people to get food they need and that sort of thing, is how this goes on for 3 or 4 years in 3 different locations, and they even ask whoever it was that went into the next one, do you know the other guy? Oh, no, I don't know him or something. This is incredible. I saw recently where it's something like 40 million people are on food stamps. And with this kind of operation and how easy it must be, that's just awful. I just think, why did this go on so long? Maybe you don't know, but...
Your Honor, I don't know.
It just seems to me this is just so flagrant that we're tolerating this and money's not around. And people, I'm sure a lot of people need this, but there's also a lot of people who are just taking advantage of it and wasting. And maybe you can make that distinction because the people who have a link card are different than somebody that just buys drugs on the street for cash.
Correct. Maybe we should all just hie ourselves over to McCormick Place, where my understanding is there is a huge convention of convenience store owners today.
I was unaware of that, Your Honor.
And ask them to take up this issue. Because it is just terrible.
I certainly agree with that.
But I just don't know why it wasn't caught sooner. That's what I really think. It's run up in millions of dollars, and obviously it's whatever the transactions were real. Once this gets going, people who, and this is why you probably legitimately can claim the participants, they're right part of it. They've got the link card, they've whatever they've done to qualify for it, and they know darn well they're abusing it by exchanging whatever you get for the link card and for cash. And he gets to keep half the cash, and they run off with the cash and obviously do something nefarious with it. They aren't going to feed their kids. But it went on for so long with nobody doing anything about it.
It's very unsettling that it went on for that long and cost the taxpayers as much as it did, Your Honor. I fully agree with that.
But I just make that observation because you have to prosecute it and then wonder yourself where is this? Why are we just getting this? I guess.
So for all these reasons, Your Honors, we request that the court affirm the conviction. And as an aside, for what it's worth. There was a case discussed in the previous argument, and a decision of this court was brought up, referred to as the Shade case. I represented the United States in that case, and I'm informed by counsel for the petitioner that her name is pronounced Chaidez.
Thank you.
You're okay. Very welcome.
We will try to do it correctly from now on.
Far be it from me to correct the court, but just for your
information. Names are what they are. Thank you, Mr. Bindi. Anything further, Mr. Stanton?
Very briefly. What I didn't address the first time up was the sentence. We believe the 60-month sentence in this case with a limited criminal background was unreasonable. So essentially, it's our position the loss amount was overstated and clearly erroneous. The restitution judgment was uncertain. And this wasn't shown that there was five or more participants in terms of the role adjustment. With that, I guess I will get a head start over to McCormick Place, unless you have any other questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.